Chapter 20. The Journey. Muller and I took Clive Smith's body, carried it down the hill, and put it in a ditch near the road. Then we walked together to the gate of Patachon's farm. "I'll wait for you here," I said, giving Muller Clive Smith's car keys, which I had found in one of his pockets. "I'll get into the car when you stop to open the gate." Muller carried out my instructions and soon returned with the car. We drove to the ditch, got Clive Smith's body, and put it in the back of the car under a blanket. Then I ordered Muller to drive to Liverpool, a large port in the north of England. I thought that it was far enough away to be safe. On the way, we drove past a large river. I attached some heavy pieces of iron to Clive Smith's body and dropped it into the water. I've got no regrets about what I did. Once we arrived in Liverpool, we found a small hotel and had breakfast in our room. Muller then fell asleep in front of the fire. I then spent a couple of hours practicing the signature on Clive Smith's normal British passport, which I was planning to use. The passport photograph was not very like me, but it was close enough. When Muller woke up, I got him to read me the shipping news while I had a bath in the bathroom. How can I get rid of Muller without killing him? I asked myself. I've promised him his life and his freedom, but it will be a difficult promise to keep. What would Clive Smith have done in this situation? The answer soon became clear to me. He would have pushed Muller over the side of a ship into the sea the night before they came into a port, and then would have hidden his absence. I decided to do this too, but with one small difference. I would push Muller over the side of the boat near land and with the possibility of getting there. I finally decided to take a ship that was sailing to Tangier in Morocco. We went to a travel agent and reserved two cabins. While we were there, I looked at the plan of the boat and found a small section of the deck where we could sit in relative privacy. Then we did some shopping. I bought a collapsible rubber boat and a bicycle pump to inflate it, a pair of strong paddles in two pieces, and a length of rope. Muller naturally thought that the boat was for my own escape, and I didn't tell him anything different. I then sold the car, and we embarked. The ship sailed that afternoon. For 2 days, I didn't have to worry about Muller. He was seasick all the time and didn't leave the cabin. On the third day, we came in sight of Portugal. By then, Muller was able to come onto the deck. "What do you want to do now, Muller?" I asked him. "Do you want to return to London and report to your employers, or do you want to disappear?" Muller wasn't used to thinking for himself and was happy to do whatever I suggested. "Here's my plan, then," I said. "I'm going to throw you into the sea together with the rubber boat. There will be clothes in the boat for you. When you reach land, put them on. Destroy the boat and put the pieces under a rock. Then take the train to Lisbon and spend the night there. But don't go to a hotel. The next day, buy yourself a visa and a ticket for any country you like and leave immediately on another ship. I'm giving you £500, so you'll have plenty of money. I'll tell everyone that you're dead, so no one will try to find you." Once it got dark and the other passengers had gone for dinner, we carried out the plan. So that no one would be sent to look for us, I had told the chief steward that I wasn't feeling well and that I would stay in my cabin. My companion would stay with me to look after me. Muller sat on the side of the ship, trembling with cold and panic. The money was in a little bag around his neck. We could see lights on shore, so he knew in which direction to row. I threw the rubber boat over the side and told him to jump quickly. The next moment he was in the water. Good luck to him, I thought. If he finds the right job, he should be able to make a safe, happy life for himself. I returned to my cabin. We were expecting to arrive in Tangier the next afternoon. That day passed very slowly. In the afternoon, I packed our bags and took them on deck. As soon as all the luggage had been taken off the ship, I went and got our landing cards. The landing cards were my biggest danger and worried me very much. The number of landing cards collected at the end of the journey had to correspond to the number of passengers on the ship. I would therefore have to give two landing cards while appearing to give only one. I ran into the ship's smoking room and stuck the two landing cards together with the gum from a stamp. I hoped that the man collecting the cards wouldn't notice what I had done. If he did, I would have to say that Muller had got off the boat earlier with our bags and that he must have forgotten to give in his card. When I left the boat, I gave the man the landing cards. I was terrified, but he didn't notice anything. 10 minutes later, I was in Tangier. I went to a hotel and reserved a room for a week. I told the manager that I had a woman friend in Tangier and that he shouldn't be surprised if I didn't appear in the hotel for 2 or 3 nights. I had an enormous meal at the excellent restaurant in the hotel. Then I put a razor, a bottle of hair dye, and another bottle of coloured liquid into my pocket and walked off into the deserted hills. I felt great relief that my escape was over, and I now knew what I was going to do next. I buried Quive Smith's British passport and my own. I shaved off my moustache, darkened my face and body with the coloured liquid I had brought, and dyed my hair. Then I lay down and fell asleep. In the morning, I walked back into the town and completed my change of identity. I bought a new suit and went to a barber who cut my hair and brushed it straight back from my forehead. I now looked exactly like the photo on Quive Smith's other passport. Later that day, I bought a ticket in my new name and then took a boat for Marseille in the south of France. No one would ever know that I had either entered or left Tangier, and there was no way of connecting me with Quive Smith. The hunted man had become the hunter once again.